The readings for this third Sunday of Advent. The epistle is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Please rise for the gospel. The gospel is a reading from the Gospel of St. John. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and did not deny. And he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said therefore unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there hath stood one in the midst of you whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Please be seated. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Always during its penitential seasons, the Church speaks even more than usual about joy, about gladness, about happiness. During the penitential seasons, it's interesting to examine that. I do want to be very clear. I'm going to speak about joy. And I'm not speaking of the emotion of joy. Many traditional Catholics feel guilty because when they have difficult things going on in their lives, when their crosses are particularly heavy, well, they're not happy about it. They say, gosh, I should be joyful. Yes, but not in the way most of us understand it. The joy we speak of, Catholic joy, is not an emotional joy. It's a supernatural joy. And remember that our emotions are not in our souls. What's happening in our souls is spiritual. Our emotions are material. They're in our body. When we're gravely sick, it is very difficult. For some people, it's impossible to be joyful on the emotional level. And yet, if we're gravely sick, that is a tremendous occasion for a very high level of supernatural joy. And this is specifically what St. Paul is speaking of. This is specifically the idea that the Church is trying to get across when it focuses on joy during penitential seasons. Remember that the definition, if you want to use it, of joy is what we experience at the possession of a present good. I know that sounds pretty dry, but it's what we experience when we possess a good that is present, something that we want. That's why we speak of the joy of heaven, the everlasting joy of heaven, because we possess God face to face. On earth, our joy, again, can be the same kind as the joy of heaven. We're never guaranteed the emotional or the material joy on earth. Possessions come and go. People come and go. What we consider as our blessings, our health, our riches, whatever it might be, that comes and goes. What is our exclusive ownership, though, our exclusive claim to joy on earth is the possession of the Blessed Trinity in our souls. That is where the Catholic's true joy comes from. That is where our joy comes from. It's not from our emotions. Now again, we read about these saints who, really, one of their characteristics was their outstanding good humor, their outstanding joy. It is true that if we have a supernatural joy, that if we have it in our soul, eventually it will spill over. It will spill over into our emotions. It might take a while, and some people never get to that point. It's okay. It does not mean that we're doing anything wrong. We are doing something wrong, however, if in our souls we don't have a supernatural joy and a supernatural peace from our possession of the Holy Trinity. So St. Paul speaks of peace, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. The peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding. When we think of peace, generally we mean that we don't have any problems in our lives. We got our bills paid, the kids are behaving themselves, spouse isn't mad at us about anything. Those kinds of things are what we equate with peace. It's not true. That's not peace. Peace, and again, it's one of these definitions that look really boring and don't seem like they're saying anything, but they say everything. St. Augustine tells us that peace is the tranquility of order. Peace is the tranquility of order. It is very possible that we don't have much control on the chaotic circumstances around us. It's very possible. We don't have control over our health. We don't have control over the health of others. We don't have control over other people's behavior, over their malice. We can't control those things. What we always have control over is the order that's in our soul. We always have control over ourselves, always. To the degree that we ourselves are in order, we will have peace. That's what St. Paul talks about. It surpasseth the world's understanding. The world wants peace in the world. The world wants order in the world. As Catholics, we know it's not what we're here for. It's not what we're here for. We are here to master ourselves, and in that self-mastery, show forth our Lord Jesus Christ. That takes order. From that order will flow peace, and from that order will flow joy. Not necessarily emotional joy. So what kills this peace? What kills this joy? What kills this order? Nothing more. Nothing does that. Nothing kills it more effectively than sin and the attachment to sin. Sin is disorder. It's essentially that's one perfectly good definition of sin. Something is sinful to the degree that it's disordered. If it's not very disordered, but there is a disorder, it's a venial sin. If it's gravely disordered, it's a mortal sin. Sin is a lack of order. Sin is disorder. Sin kills joy. We get fooled because sin can give us pleasure. And we, again, this is the understanding of the world, they equate pleasure with joy. They equate pleasure with happiness. Since original sin, we do as well, but it's not true. Our joy comes from order. Our joy comes from putting away these sins even more deeply, and this is what the Church gets at during the liturgy so many times of her penitential seasons. Truly, deeply, if we want to be joyful, have a supernatural joy, there is no surer way than to live a constant life of self-mortification. It doesn't make sense. That's not the thinking of the world. It's not our thinking after original sin. But it is absolutely true. It's the fundamental basis of our spiritual life. If we want to be happy, If we want to be truly and supernaturally happy, the only way to do that is to habitually deny ourselves any kind of disordered material happiness. It's the only way we'll be truly happy. Otherwise, there will always be that disorder, that lack of full submission to the will of God. It's really one of these paradoxes of the spiritual life. We cannot be supernaturally happy unless we start in certain ways to be unhappy, if we want to use that term, on the natural level. We start to have supernatural pleasures to the degree that we start to kill our natural inclinations. It is a mystery. Why? Because our supernatural life is a birth to God. But it only happens to the degree that our natural attachments, our natural disorders start to die, and nothing wants to die. This is why our Lord says about the kingdom of heaven, the violent bear it away. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about we have to do violence to all of our disordered desires. It's not easy. It's not easy. And yet, it's the only way that we'll be happy. It's the only way that we'll have joy, the true joy that we're meant to have. There's 2 weeks left in Advent. Either we really haven't even started any kind of Advent penance and we're just kind of waiting for the season to be over because we feel guilty about it and just hopefully it'll get done and I'll feel better after Christmas. Or we did start and we're starting to flag. If we really did choose a good penance, we should be getting tired. 2 weeks of really focusing on penance should be tiring on the natural level. If we really want to have a good Christmas, either renew that fervor for whatever penance, whatever Advent penance we've picked, or start now. It's never too late. 2 weeks of an Advent penance are better than none. 1 day of an Advent penance is better than no Advent penance. And again, you know, I encourage you, go after what is it? What little pleasures do I take that I know are purely selfish? I'm not talking about chocolate. Giving up chocolate is fine, it's a penance, but it's not what we're after. We're after really going and mortifying ourselves. Am I angry? Do I lose my temper? Am I impatient? Am I uncharitable? Well, what is it about losing my temper that I enjoy, that I like doing? That's what I'm going to give up. What is it about being uncharitable that I enjoy? You know, I like to show people that I don't like them, whatever it is, that I'm better than they are. That's what we have to give up. That's what we have to give up. And that's what will earn for us the graces of Christmas. Again, God means to give us certain graces during certain of the great feasts. Christmas is truly one. If we prepare ourselves with a good Advent, there's no telling what God has in store for us, even on this earth. And again, you know, what creature could possibly know the graces of Christmas better than Our Lady? What creature could possibly know true supernatural joy better than Our Lady? She is called the Sorrowful Mother. We do speak about her seven sorrows, and yet there is no doubt she was the most joyful creature that ever walked the earth. Why? Because she was perfectly ordered. She was perfectly at peace. She didn't have original sin. The order that she reached, never having been wounded by original sin, is a model for us. We can't quite go to that level, but we can certainly go to her and ask her, either if we've lost our fervor or never had it for Advent, to give it to us. It's not too late. It's not too late. Or to increase our fervor, to really teach us what do I need to get rid of? What kind of, I'll put it bluntly, what kind of suffering do I need to undergo so that I can reach that supernatural joy that is, as a Catholic, my birthright, my right? If we're not joyful as Catholics, if we don't have that supernatural joy, we're missing the point of our religion. We're doing something wrong. If we're not joyful on the natural level, okay, there can be reasons for that. But on the supernatural level, if we don't have that, it's a subtle, high, hidden joy. But if we don't have it, we are missing something. There's something we're not seeing. So if we don't have it, go to Our Lady, pray to her. She can show us what we need to see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.